Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is indeed the broadcast for August 30th. What is it, August 31st? August 31st in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is Hour 2 at 2. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio. By the way, last hour, we had an incredible question about the FBI saying that homegrown extremists now primary terrorist threat in the USA. That's a very concerning story. So check that out last hour. The archives will be up after the show this morning, as they always are at libertyroundtable.com. Kurt Crosby's with me. We're talking about college football's growing problem, Kurt. That is, what, empty seats? It's a massive problem. Kurt, you with me? All right, we'll try to get Kurt back. I don't know what happens to Kurt on the second hour all the time. Nevertheless, we'll have to kind of work on that. Let's see. There's so many topics, it's hard to know what to go to here. I guess the problem is that the land is an issue in South Africa. They say we live like sardines. And the terrified white farmers are plotting their escape. I don't know where they go. It's kind of a sad tale to tell in South Africa. All right, you with us, Kurt?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, we're trying to go to Kurt Crosby. He's missing in action.
Just running back to the microphone now. You know, Sam, the white farmers or the football. Yeah.
I went to white farmers because the football was a I basically a threw this pass.
Yeah.
And that sucker just spiked into the end zone all by itself.
And they tell in this story from the Wall Street Journal, which, I find interesting. They're talking about football in the Wall Street Journal, but it has a lot to do with with money, the days of sports, especially less professional sports, seem to kind of be going away. But the headline reads: "College football's growing problem, empty seats." Then they say, subheadline: "Announced attendance dropped 3.2% in football's top division last season, but schools' ticket scans show even fewer fans in the stands." In the story it says, when Minnesota hosted Nebraska at TCF Bank Stadium last year, I've never been there, but anyway, the game featured a charismatic new Golden Gophers coach, PJ Fleck, a home team fighting for a bowl berth and a big-name opponent. The announced attendance was 39,933 people. An okay crowd for a crisp November day in Minneapolis, but it didn't tell the whole story, they say. Only 25,493 ticketed fans were counted at the gates. That's 36% lower than the announced attendance and about half of the stadium's capacity. They say more than 14,000 people who bought tickets or got them free didn't show up. Now, you know, Rachel Bachman's the author of this story, and it is a Wall Street Journal piece, but, you know, it seems like so many of these really smart people just are maybe too smart, because they, at least the way I see it, is typically the cost of these things is just way too high. Now, I'm not talking about just the cost, for example, of the ticket itself. I remember you know, recently, I think it was last year, a friend of mine, our buddy Greg, that sometimes will be with us on the program, he's a guy from the Massachusetts area, and our local, one of our local teams, Brigham Young University, BYU, was hosting Massachusetts, and so he was attempting to find some tickets, and he actually, I remember him talking, or we were talking with a lady that had bought the tickets for, like, the ones he was thinking about getting were around 10 bucks a piece, but the lady had bought them for like 100 bucks or more. I remember thinking, wow, you know, they really charge a lot for those. And yet, you know, if you look for them, you can get them for a lot less. But there's more to the cost of a ticket for a ball game. I mean, not only do you have to, if you're going to buy them ahead of time, you got to pay the $100 or whatever it was like the lady bought for those tickets. But then also you've got to make sure you've got parking. You've got to take off work. You've got to, you know, be stuck in traffic. You've got to deal with all that stuff. You got to walk in there and walk out, all that kind of stuff. When, you know, they make it pretty nice and easy just to watch a game, like on your own TV. So, I think it's
actually, they don't make it difficult. Nice and easy to watch on your TV.
Well, I'm just saying compared to doing all the other things that you have to do.
All right.
To,
I'm just saying most of the time it requires a cable package and you got blackout games and you got this network and that network and, oh, it's only on the local channel. Well, my goodness, I don't have rabbit ears on my TV cause I got whatever. And all I'm telling you is it's, whether it's professional and or college games, it's very tough to have the right package. It's expensive, or going to the games expensive. You know, they say tickets for college games, if you're not a student, is really expensive though, Kurt, around $100. Some, you know, special games are even way more than that. So, I mean, it's expensive to attend these things, but it's not only football, it's basketball. It's tickets for all kinds of entertainment is way through the roof, Kurt.
Well, and that's exactly why I'm not surprised when they have empty seats, though, Sam. I mean, if you charge too much for something, you're going to have less purchasers of that.
Yeah, you're right. But it's not only the charging too much that's the issue. It's this hostility that's gone on about patriotism regarding the flag, too, Kurt. Look, baseball melted down when they had this big old union blockouts and the players refused to play and everybody thought, you know what, you guys are a bunch of brats. You make a ton of money, you walk around, you know, scratching yourself and being all weird on the field and then you want us to pay a ton of money to go see it, we're out. And the same thing's happening here when people are like, hey, we're going to just battle over the flag, a symbol that most Americans can sit back and say, look, we might disagree on a lot of political issues, but when it comes to the flag, it's a symbol of our country and our freedom and who we are. And most people are that simple about it, Kurt. And when you start to make it a big political wedge, are you surprised when people are just like, I'm not going to the game anymore? Just not doing it.
Well, and, you know, there's a couple of stories that go along with this that I sent you right together. For example, you've got the one that says the Packers are paying Aaron Rodgers $80 million in the next 6 months. You know, it just seems like we end up putting so much money, you know, towards the whole bread and circuses thing. And yet, you know, I don't have any problem with the private sector doing this. My problem is typically they want us to subsidize the stadium, or they want us to, you know, give them free parking or free land or something like that. You know, this is a rich man's game. It's not something that should be supported by the taxpayers, Sam.
Well, we agree, and we don't have any problem with them paying whatever they want to pay this guy.
Yeah.
On a couple of conditions, and that is that they don't rope us into paying for it. Right. Because really, how much is a ticket for college and or for professional sports when you just talk about the average price of a ticket, but then you also got to talk about the taxpayer subsidization that takes place. I don't even know how you would back into a discussion about what it costs, Kurt.
Yeah, like on this guy, this Aaron Rodgers that plays for the Packers, They're just finalizing a 4-year, $134 million extension. This is not as much as LeBron got there going to L.A., but anyway, according to the NFL Network, that includes an $80 million or $80 million bucks before March. Then the bulk of it's a $57.5 million signing bonus. I mean, it's just huge money, Sam. The president gets peanuts compared to this kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, but in the story it says NFSWELL. What's that? NF Swell?
National Football Swell. And, or in other words, the bottom line is they spend huge amounts of money, you know, while they, you know, to get these.
Yeah, but what does the swell mean? They're just talking about.
Well,
it's just
as
a play
well,
on words or what?
Yeah, like swell, like it's things are going well.
Yeah, see, I don't.
That kind of thing.
I don't see, and National I don't think it's swell at all. Swell. I think it's so priced out of the stratosphere, and
yeah,
the game has become so political, you can't even sing the national anthem. You know,
yeah.
You got black against white, Donald against everybody, the players against each other, the teams against each other, the coaches, the fans, and it's far from swell, folks. Aaron Rodgers.
That's why I wanted to bring it up.
Each contract of $80 million. Wow. And LeBron got more than that, and he's babbling at the mouth, too. We'll talk about that. I got a story personally to tell you about sports.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I ask you, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans will spend their entire lifetime purchasing food from the supermarkets while having no idea that almost every packaged food product on the grocery shelves is certified kosher. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics, politics, and our identity. In an effort to promote awareness to the kosher question, developers have published an app for your smartphone that features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosher-tified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at thekosherquestion.com. With the cesspool of politics getting even deeper these days, why not leave the swamp and start eating in favor of your own interests? Check out thekosherquestion.com today and download the app.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Killer sounding guitar, ladies and gentlemen. This is Liberty Roundtable Live. We're talking about sports. And I know it sounds crazy. Why you guys say you're hard-hitting news, now you're talking about sports. But look, Aaron Rodgers, man. What is he, in the NFL? Got $80 million contract, folks. LeBron got more than that.
Well, his contract's for like $140 million, but it's $80 million that they got to pay by March. You know, that's just quite a bit of cash, Sam.
Yep. And I'm okay with all that if it's really the free market. But when we have government subsidizing of you know, stadiums or, you know, courts or arenas or all this stuff, then I start to have a problem with it. And that's kind of where it all starts. So my personal experience with sports is I wanted to take my family to a Jazz game, Kurt.
Yeah.
And as you know, the Utah Jazz in basketball, they've been doing quite well over the last little bit. And when I say quite well, they're not a top-tier team. They're not from a big, you know, city with a ton of money or something like that. But they compete incredibly well for a tiny team on the circuit, so to speak. And they're fun to watch, and they're Utah-based, and I really appreciate what they do. They play more team basketball instead of it just being focused on a rock star or two. They really distribute the ball and play some team ball that's really neat, by the way. I mean, it's impressive how they do all that. And Jerry Sloan was the former coach, and now the current coach. I can't remember what his name is.
He's a good one, though.
Anyway, he does a great job. Isn't it Quinn Snyder? There he is. All right,
yeah,
anyway.
That's right.
Anyway, so all I'm telling you is it's fun. And so once in a while, a couple of times a year, I like to see if I can't, you know, go to a game with my family. I used to be able to get tickets for $10 to $15 a person, and I'd buy them kind of a special, like, you know, $60 to take us all to the game or whatever, and would do it for a birthday or somebody or a Christmas or, you know, because we don't just buy presents. We buy presents based on themes. And so, like, under the Making Memories category, would go to a jazz game or whatever, under the Entertainment category. Or, you know, we do things with gifts to try to not just spend money and buy things, but focus on memories and time together and all this stuff. Anyway, we're kind of crazy family. You know, it's pretty terroristic kind of stuff.
It is pretty scary.
Anyway, so I tell you all that to say, so we usually get games like that. And I got kind of a jazz connection guy that I work through that gets me my tickets. He does a great job. And we never get the, you know, front row seats or even the lower bowl seats. We always get the upper bowl. We just can't afford it, folks. We're a big family and it's expensive. But nevertheless, we enjoy it and do the best we can. It's about the crowd and the atmosphere and all that kind of stuff once in a while. And anyway, so I tried to get tickets this last year. And I went on there, and tickets, buddy, were like $50, $100, $46, and all this. I kind of freaked, and I called my contact, and I'm like, hey, man. He goes, well, listen, we got a new thing for you that might really work. We got these tickets, and they're standing tickets. And so for the $15 that I used to pay, Kurt, you can get, it's like $18 now, but you can get a standing ticket only. So you don't get a seat, Kurt.
Mm-hmm.
But you get a stand.
What do you do, just bring your chair?
No, dude, you have to stand up. You can't BYOT.
Bring your own.
Oh, BYOC. Seat. Sorry.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You can't do that, BYOC. You can't do that because there's not enough room. It's like a standing room only kind of deal. So, you know, you can walk to the concession stand and buy stuff and you can, you know. But it's just a strange thing. And so we've got to where our society is so focused on bread and circus. That it's almost more important than anything else. It's really a sad tale to tell. All right, Kurt, you want to talk about John Wayne?
Well, we're talking college football, so I thought
it was
interesting.
Yeah, I get super lost when Kurt does this stuff. I don't know if we're in the movies or in reality.
It's so hard.
We're talking about live people or dead people. What are we talking about first?
Well, you know, this just kind of shows you the difference in the days of old, but I didn't know that John Wayne, besides all his movies, I just didn't know that he was a player on the USC football team. And, you know, I saw that in this story. I guess John Wayne, they were talking about him or doing an interview, and it says, regarding socialism, John Wayne stated in an interview back in 1971, in the late 20s when I was a sophomore at USC, I was a socialist myself, but not when I left. The average college kid idealistically wishes everybody could have ice cream and cake for every meal, but as he gets older and gives more thought to his and his fellow man's responsibilities, he finds that it can't work out that way, that some people just won't carry their load. I believe in welfare, he says, a welfare work program. I don't think a fella should be able to sit on his backside and receive welfare. I'd like to know why well-educated idiots keep apologizing for lazy and complaining people who think the world owes them a living. I'd like to know why they make excuses for cowards who spit in the faces of the police and then run behind the judicial sob sisters. I can't understand these people who carry placards to save the life of some criminal.
And when was this interview given?
No thought for the innocent victim. This is back in May of 71.
Because he lived from like 1907 to 1979, right?
I can't remember for sure when he died.
And it's not even his real name, right? You know that.
Right. Good point.
So it's pretty hard to know about a guy than what he used to do in football and anything else when you don't know his real name, right? And how are you going to...
Yeah, this guy, Bill Federer, is a great researcher, and that's who wrote this article for WorldNet Daily. And, you know, he dug some, you know, he dug deep and, you know, was seeing this. And I just didn't know that besides playing football at USC, he... you know, did a number of other things. Of course, you know, a lot of us know about movies that John Wayne did. I mean, there's fewer that know about it now.
Yeah, do you know what his real name is?
Let's see. Where was that in this?
Marion
Anthony
Robert
Wayne.
Morrison.
Oh, that's Marion Mitchell Morrison.
Well, that's
his
another
given name.
Robert
was Marion Mitchell Morrison.
Well, he was born Marion Robert Morrison.
Oh. That's weird.
Winterset, Iowa.
And is that in, that's according to Wikipedia? Or,
yeah, that's right.
Huh. Well, in this
other
article
names,
from,
Marion Robert Morrison, Marion Mitchell Morrison. They also called him the Duke and stuff like that. So, you know, I don't even know what his real name is. He's a little bit like Barack Obama. It's just easier to find out details. Actor,
yeah,
director,
they say
producer.
He played football for USC, you know, worked behind the scenes at Fox Studio. He did work in front of the scenes as well, too. You know,
yeah, kind of weird stuff.
Yeah, 200 films. You know, I just thought it was kind of a football connection. I bet back then it was a little easier to get into the games, you know.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's kind of strange. They say at birth, his middle name was Robert, but it was soon changed to Mitchell when his parents decided to name their next son Robert. So... Clyde Leonard Morrison was his dad, right? So, Mary Molly Alberta Brown is his mom's name. Anyway, we digress quite a bit. But, you know, so we're talking about a dead guy that used to play football under a fake name back in the day. Did he play football as John Wayne or Morrison?
I don't know.
You got to research that, Kurt.
Well, it wasn't in this article.
What if it was really Barack Obama, man?
Good point.
I mean, it could have been. Yeah. Anyway, we get into this situation when we talk about sports where it's just gotten absolutely so expensive. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we depend on the taxpayers and stuff like that, I pay for a lot of the Jazz games, even though I can't attend, Kurt.
Yeah.
I can't attend because I can't afford it.
But you're supposed to just be grateful.
Just imagine if I take my 9-year-old daughter to a Jazz game and she has to stand the whole time. How well is that going to turn out, Kurt?
Great.
She kind of likes the game as long as
it'll
not
save you
intense.
Money at the gym, so you don't have to get a gym membership.
Well,
you
my daughter
do, like,
does oftentimes when people are watching these games or whatever, she'll kind of fade in and watch a little bit and then leave and go play and then come back. And she likes that. She likes to kind of eat treats with us and things. But if you had her just stand there the whole time and watch a game, I'm just telling you right now, in 5 minutes she'd be done. And then I'd be spending my $15 to, you know, go out with my daughter and make her happier. So I'm just saying.
Try to find her.
It doesn't work well.
Yeah,
but that's what we've kind of evolved to, Kurt, because we're so focused on bread and circus, right?
Yes.
All right. Argentina's in the news.
Well, yes.
Costs
Sam,
are going up for
like,
those guys, too, isn't it, Kurt?
Well, you know, this is kind of an update. We said that there was peso was plunging. You know, now they raised the interest rates to 60%, they say, to shore up the peso. Well, that's going to shore up, huh, Sam?
Well, you know, Kurt, and then, we're raising interest rates too, my friend.
Well, yeah, but thank goodness we're not at 60%. Then the other headline from the CNBC boys, Argentina's peso has now fallen a staggering 108% against the dollar so far this year. Whoa.
Now I got a question.
What if those guys had a little silver and gold down there, how would they be doing?
I got a question, though. Why are we talking about against the dollar? Is the dollar the standard that we need to measure all things against, Kurt?
That's what people want to push.
Why?
Dishonest money.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about dishonest money and what a disaster it creates in society, right? And so you talked about this scenario, Kurt, where in Argentina it's kind of a meltdown. They're literally rising interest rates big time. You got Venezuela in a meltdown. What is this about the Turkish lira, Kurt?
Well, that's another, you know, sub-headline. You know, you got another fake money, basically. They call it the Turkish lira, and it says it's fallen 4% against the U.S. dollar. But like you said, you know, they're not putting them up against what they really should put them up against, and that is, you know, honest money, silver and gold. But you know, it's just... just shows you the disaster of fiat money or you know, paper money around the world, wherever it's used.
Yeah, and what's interesting to me is there's so many countries kind of in trouble, right?
Well, it's because what country doesn't use paper money, Sam?
Yeah. Anyway, it's sure interesting to me how we, you know, go ahead and do all this comparison. In fact, it's interesting. Yeah. I mentioned that in America, they're rising interest rates too, Kurt, and I agree that it's not as extreme as some of these other places right now. Thank heavens.
Good point.
But it could be is the point. It could be overnight. And it is bad for many Americans, though. I know we think that the economy's been recovering, and I think to a great degree it has. But a lot of people are still left behind, Kurt. And
well, that's right.
The example that I would use is this Americans are increasingly crowdfunding medical bills. You want to talk about this one?
Well, you know, at least this is an example of basically what I'd call people doing acts of charity.
Incredible ingenuity as well on the part of those people who have gone to this method of saying, hey, there is a way to reach out and help people. The benefit of the modern internet as well. In other words, ways that we can get in touch with each other, right?
That's a great
point. In the past, this wasn't really optional because how do I get in touch with all these people that could help me? And how do I do that, right? But nowadays it can be done, so it's ingenuitive on the side of those seeking the help, but it's very volunteer and charitable on the part of those who are giving the help. I mean, I find it to be tremendous, right?
Yep.
So in my mind, this is exciting. But it does point to the sinister problem that we have a little bit, Kurt, which is, why are Americans needing to increasingly crowdfund medical bills?
Good point.
Because they're out of control, man. They're out of control because of fake money and government regulation, Kurt.
And if you didn't have the government in it, or Uncle Sam, whatever you want to call it, in it, saying that, look, whatever the bill is, we'll pay it if this poor sap can't cover it, you know, we'll pay it, then that's the key thing that's ruined that whole
Because the prices just go through the roof if there's a, quote, guarantee, right?
Well, it only makes sense, Sam. I mean, I'd even be tempted. Now, I'm not saying I'd do it. I'm just saying I'd be tempted if, let's say, tomorrow the government said, look, you know, all you Utahns, you know, you've got to buy raw honey. And if you can't afford it, you know, we'll pay whatever you can't afford.
Yeah, we'll give you a tub of raw honey every month delivered to your door.
Yeah, I mean, I would be tempted, not that I'd do it, but, you know.
Kurt's making the point that it's so easy to fall into that trap if you don't have morality, right?
Yeah, that's right. And that's what we see in, you know, education world.
Healthcare world.
Pharmaceutical, yeah, that's right.
And so, anyway, we bring it all up because, again, we're not saying that we're as bad off as some of the other countries. What we're pointing out, though, is, hey, the seeds are being sown for the difficulties that we point out in these other countries to come to a theater or a health clinic or a, you know, honey dealer or a whatever near you, right? And that's kind of our concerns with it. Now, the other thing I think is if we were to get rid of the government guarantees, we were to get government out of the mix and quit regulating so belligerently, these hospitals and doctors and the medical industry had to compete in a real sense, Kurt. And they don't, because what they say is we just got to follow Medicaid, Medicare, government pricing. Even if you're not using Medicaid, Medicare, they still use those price matrix and all that to kind of govern what the costs of things are. Anyway, I bring all that up to say if you got rid of all that regulation and got out of the middle of it, let the free market compete, and then you let people crowdfund, Kurt, just think of how many more people we could crowdfund. And in other words, instead of me needing $500,000 or whatever for this or that or some outrageous number, you know, the number's going to drop significantly. And so I think we ought to combine the two. We ought to reduce the regulation, get government out of the middle of it all, let people compete in the real market, and then I think we ought to also use crowdfunding to help one another. Just imagine all that brought to the table for solutions, Kurt.
That's a pretty cool picture.
Just think, Kurt. Pretty soon you wouldn't say we have a healthcare crisis in America. We'd say the economic engine and genius of the American people brought to bear. We have the best system on the planet.
Yep. Good point.
Man, it'd be so exciting. Yeah. All right, there's a white woman.
A white woman.
Heck yeah. She got crazy on a bus, man. She calls someone the N-word on a bus, Kurt. And I guess literally beat her up. What do they call it, an X2 bus? In New York?
Oh, dear.
No, N-E, what's that?
Not sure. Northeast.
No, come on, Kurt.
N-E stands for. Let's see. Let me see if
is
I
it
can
Nebraska?
Find this bus story. Maybe. Let's see. Bus. White woman on a bus. You know, it's a
white woman called someone on a bus. Yeah, and she got beat up.
It is. Yeah, on X2 bus in Northeast. Might be New England. Let's see.
New England.
Let's see if I can find it. You know, there's so many stories, ladies and gentlemen, that we try to keep our eyes out for you.
Yeah, and here's what happens. Kurt sends me batches and batches of them. Sometimes I feel buried in stories. And what I try to do is just basically, I try to, you know, get them all logged into our news file or whatever you say.
Yeah.
And then sometimes
with
I don't
the help of our huge staff.
Yeah, like Sam Bushman.
You know.
And Kurt Crosby. Anyway, and then what happens is I try to log all the stories that Kurt gives me. And then what I try to do is I try to get to them as fast as I can. But, of course, you know, there's a lot of news to cover. But what I often do, too, is I usually put the stories in order in which they're found. So I add a story from me, a story from Kurt. Whenever they're found, I just add them to the next story. Right? Yeah. So I don't prioritize them just based on the timeline in the monster file. Whenever they come in, they get placed in there. But then I try to do things that add intelligence to that general placing. I'll give you an example. If Kurt brings up a story that I think Richard Mack is as a former jail warden and FBI-trained police enforcement personnel, as a former sheriff, as a former jailer, all these things. Okay, if I find a story that I believe is just suited for Richard Mack, then I try to place that to where we can cover it on Friday so that we can get his expert professional input on the story kind of a thing. Or an example is Kurt gave me several of these stories that we talked about with regards to your health care. The story about olive oil and the story about yoga and the story about, and now these stories about health care and the crowdfunding. I try to bring them all up in the same day because I try to group topics together that flow well. Right? When we talk about sports, for example, we'll pull up a Tim Tebow story and five other stories on sports because they topically work well together. Or sometimes if Kurt gives me a story that really deserves detailed discussion, then if it's close to the end of the hour and Kurt just sends it to me, I won't bring it up that hour because I don't want to chop off the discussion. I want to give Kurt a chance to flesh out the whole story and discuss the points that he's trying to make about the story. So I might hold it off for another day. Or if we have a guest that's not related to the topics, I might skip a bunch of news that day and do a guest. Like we had, Ryan Bundy, governorbundy.com for Nevada governor or whatever. Okay. I might just skip all news for that and say, we're not even going to do the recap today because we've got this incredible, story to talk about. Well, now you got this white woman called someone an N-word on a bus and she got beat up. Now, I'm not defending the N-word. Okay. I don't think it should be said. But I will say this. What if a black woman was on a bus and used the N-word? Would she get beat up, Kurt?
No.
So I'm not a double standard guy, Kurt. I want to say we shouldn't use the N-word. But if you do, it's bad. But you know what? Two wrongs don't make it right. Someone used the N-word, that's bad. But beating them up is worse. Okay, I reject the N-word and I reject the beating people up.
Yeah, good point.
Imagine that. Now, a man's calling for a national conversation about the use of the N-word after hearing rap song in, I guess, the gym. Kurt, is that what it was? He was working out and he heard the N-word ripping off there and he kind of freaked and said, hey, we got to have a discussion about this.
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, there's sure a lot of different ones, different.
So let's talk about that for a little bit, because the man calls for a national conversation. Let's have part of that national conversation. I wish I could get a hold of the man and put him on the radio and we could talk about this. Right?
Yeah.
Some people are allowed to use the N-word freely, even in campaign agendas. What's up with that? Sam and Kurt in seconds. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live on your favorite News the Networks Refuse to Use station.
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked to
hear
that.
So since you actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay. Abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
Ladies and gentlemen, we should be talking about the power of love, huh? But oh no, we're talking about the N-word. White woman calls someone the N-word on a bus. She literally gets beat up, man. Now, I'm not for calling people the N-word, and I'm not for getting beat up either. But a man now calls for a national conversation about the use of N-word after hearing a rap song in the gym. Breitbart has the guts to bring it up, Kurt.
Well, yeah, and this guy is an author for Breitbart, and I guess he goes to a gym. Rachel Dicker's the author here in this case, but Breitbart's Joel Pollack, he claimed that it may be high time to have a national conversation about the use of the N-word because a terrific black guy who owns the local boxing gym was playing a lot of hip-hop music, which used the word literally every 2 seconds. And the story says, can't make this up, folks. And there's nothing says pathetic, quite like they say in this article, like a white guy going on the internet and actually writing out the sentiment, hey, there's this really great black guy I know who plays music with the N-word in it. Let's maybe think about white people being able to say the N-word again. If it's trolling, it's grade A. If it's not, it's almost beyond censure, it says. I don't really get all of it, but anyway.
Yeah.
I guess Twitter didn't let him off the
hook. White people should never rap the N-word, according to a linguist. And now, should white people ever sing the N-word? BBC News talks about this, Kurt. And so this is kind of the problem that I'm having. Can black people use the N-word without any repercussions? But, you know, should white people ever sing the N-word, Kurt? You ought to ever. May 22nd, 2018, so the story's a couple of months old. What do you think, Kurt? Because Kendrick Lamar was performing a show in Alabama. And a white woman was, I guess, at a Kendrick Lamar concert, and she sang it on stage, buddy.
Whoa. Imagine that.
And the problem is the black rapper invited this white woman to jump up on stage and sing with him. So she did.
Very good.
Lamar stopped her after she repeatedly sang the N-word, which is heard multiple times in his song, Kurt. So she jumped up on stage. And she was singing his words with him, per his invite, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Now, the problem is she's white, Kurt. As the crowd reacted angrily to her, Kendrick told the fan, that's the singer on stage, right? You gotta bleep. One single word, the N-word's a derogatory term, he said. It's a racial slur that was used to insult black slaves. Here's the problem. Today it's prominently used in hip-hop music. So now the social media went berserk over this. Some defended the woman. And others say Lamar did the right thing by cutting her off.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there were some fans that got up on stage and did not use the N-word when they sang, Kurt. They bleeped it out. The word should not have been used at all by the female fan, Kurt, they say.
Oh, yeah, I can't.
It's a choice.
She's the wrong color.
It's the choice when we use that word, no matter what color you are, they say. Mm-hmm. Now, I agree it is a choice by everybody. But my problem is the way we're going about this, I have a real problem with. Okay? Now, when we say the word shouldn't have been used at all by the female, I would say, Kurt, that, you know what? None of these people should be using the derogatory term, Kurt. Am I allowed to say that?
There's a lot of words that they shouldn't be using, you know.
That's right.
Like to me.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Right? But my problem with this is the way this story's going down. So he literally has this in his songs. I got a question. Did the black people use the word in the song when she did, Kurt?
I think so, Sam. Said it was his
song. Now listen,
song.
He explains that he uses the word himself sparingly to add impact when necessary.
Sparingly?
Yeah.
Like that other story said, it was every 2 seconds, you know?
Well, he's just talking about in his own songs. This is one example. You're talking about just rap across the gym, right?
Yeah.
He says, I use it when I feel like I need to.
Yeah.
I try to avoid swearing in my songs, but the problem is, Kurt, the words flow. Naturally, when that word fits in, it makes a lot of sense. I'll pop. I'll put it in there. There's freedom of speech, but you have a responsibility, Kurt. If you use the word and you're not of any, quote, black heritage in this modern day world, be prepared to face a backlash. And if a white artist uses it and it has no relation to what you're saying, then you're just saying it to be controversial. Then you're completely unacceptable, he says. Now, there was a group of university students at the University of New Hampshire, and I guess it attracted national attention because the group included white students. They were seen singing along to Kanye West's 2006 hit, Bigger. And Bigger uses that word prominently, Kurt. Here's
Does
the problem.
It rhyme?
Yeah.
Something rhymes with bigger.
Anyway, they say the students displayed poor judgment, but some came forward to defend them. The students didn't write the song. Kanye West did.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't make millions of dollars from that song. Kanye West did.
Yeah.
They're young, free, and partying, and they're just singing along to a, quote, popular rap. So they sang along. What do you say to this, Kurt?
You know, it seems like it's amazing how freedom of speech works in America anymore. You know, for example, if you're a health food company and you've got some health food that does amazing things, if you tell people what it does, then, you know, the government tells you you can't say those things. And yet, on the other hand, if you're a rapper, with the right, you know, skin tone, it seems like you can pretty much say anything, and, you know, you can just basically chalk it up to the fact that you were repressed as a child, or, you know, somebody in your heritage was, and therefore you just.
So I'm going to play this soundbite right now, Kurt. I'm just going to play this soundbite. I'm going to make a point with it.
Racism, we are not cured of.
Clearly.
And it's not just a matter of it not being polite to say nigger in public. That's not the measure of whether racism still exists or not.
Now, let me stop you there. So I agree. That's not the determinant whether, you know, it's racism or the discussion there. Barack said the word. He used it appropriately to say, look, that's not the gauge. That's not kind of the issue. Now, I agree with him. However, I got Barack on tape using the N-word, and it's fine. They're still looking for the N-word from the Donald, but they can't find it. Now, I use the N-word back-to-back with Barack Hussein Obama to make a point. All right, I'm going to use the N-word. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
I think the use of nigger is absolutely ignorant, disrespectful, and unnecessary. However, I defend people's right to use that word as free speech. And I agree with Barack Obama that it is not the measure of racism in America. In fact, I don't believe there's racism in America. I agree with Jesse Lee Peterson. However, I would say that anytime we abuse one another or derogatorily refer to one another or behave in a less than Christ-like manner, we miss the mark and fall sadly short of what we all, as Americans, ought to be, regardless of race, religion, or any other dividing factor. There you have it. Now, I'd be better prepared for a backlash, huh, Kurt?
Well, I think you said it very well, Sam.
Well, me and Barack both made the same point, did we not? I was a little more articulate than poor Barack was.
Yeah. Well, that's right. Good point.
But nevertheless, I think we're basically saying the same thing, are we not, Kurt?
Yeah, I think so.
And what about this national conversation? Are we going to have it? Who's invited to the party, bro?
Yeah, good point.
Right? I mean, I kind of don't understand exactly how we would have this national discussion. I don't know that white people are allowed to even sit at the table for the discussion. Are they, Kurt?
No, they can't really be there.
But yeah, they want to tell you that I'm not willing to talk about race openly and candidly and admit to the wrongs that we've had in America and stuff like that. I'm not willing to own it, Kurt.
Yeah, that's what they say.
But I submit to you, they lie. I'm willing to own it. I'm willing to tell you that the N-word shouldn't be used by anybody. And I'm as offended by a white guy using it as I am by a black guy using it in a derogatory sense.
Yeah.
And I certainly think why can black guys or whatever you want to say, black rappers, male and female, they talk about sexual detail in a misogynistic kind of way through their whole songs. Even the girls do it.
Yep.
I mean, just ask Nicki Minaj if you want to, go down that road.
I don't want to go down that road.
All I'm telling you is, so let's have a conversation about these issues, and let's not use race as a dividing factor. Let's not use a double standard. Let's be open and admit to the wrongs that have been committed in the past and divorce ourselves from them by declaring them wrong. But let's move forward by saying we're not going to use this divisionary tactic any longer. We're going to stand together under God's law. And we're going to say we're going to act as the Savior Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, would behave. And we're going to do our very best to bring people together. We're not going to swear. We're not going to use the N-word. We're not going to use derogatory or offensive or hate-filled rhetoric towards anyone. We're going to try to do things that make people feel better as sons and daughters of God with a godly heritage and let people know that, hey, you know what? There is hope for all of us to be better and smarter and wiser and kinder and more gentle and more patient and more repentant and more forgiving. And I mean, I could keep going on.
Yes, you could.
And I'd be probably right to do so. But to these people that want to run around and say that we're not willing to talk about it, that we're afraid to have the discussion, I say bring it on, people. Mm-hmm. Let's discuss it. Not because I want to offend anybody. Not because I want to cause a problem. Not because I want to generate controversy. Not because I want to become a rock star or anything. Is because I do believe that appropriate, candid, humble conversation can truly bring about, hopefully, a change. It's possible to get past some of this stuff, Kurt. It really is. You want to know how?
Sure.
By using the Prince of Peace and his example in the atonement of Christ to forgive and repent and to teach all of us around this country to set the standard for the world to say, listen, we are all the children of God, and we all have a godly heritage. And we need to treat one another like it. I'm ready for the discussion, ladies and gentlemen. And I think it's important.
Yeah, but they're not ready for you, Sam.
I hear that. All right. Well, when I start rapping, I'll make sure in the meantime to leave the N-word out. I'll just rap, and then when they do the N-word, I'll go, not.
Yeah.
Instead of the N-word, I'll just say, not. I'll just whip out my own N-word, right?
Yeah.
All right.
That's right.
There you have it. What a sad tale to tell in America, ladies and gentlemen. They just love to push this divide. I hope we can set aside that narrative and change the narrative to a uniting narrative and teach about God, family, and country and the protection of life, liberty, and property and the proper role of limited government, appropriate behavior by all of us as God's children to one another. All right. We declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can save America. We need your help. We declare this nation shall endure.